I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And a very, very warm welcome to all our visitors this morning. May you find joy and peace worshiping with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. And we pray that all of us here this morning at the conclusion of this worship service may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, my message this morning is entitled, God Starts and Surely Finishes His Good Work, and He will finish His good work successfully. Now and then, we must have come across restaurants that operate for maybe 2 or 3 years, and then they shut down. Now, there is this imaginary restaurant. I say imaginary restaurant because I thought of this restaurant. I imagined this restaurant. Now, there is this imaginary restaurant that appears to be going that way. It appears to be going to go out of business. Now, it is not because this restaurant is not serving good food. It serves good food. But the problem is that the owners do not know how to run a restaurant business. Now, the owners then decide that they should do something about it. And so they engaged the service of a retired restaurant manager. Now, this retired restaurant manager has been reputed to be one who has been a very, very successful restaurant manager. And he manages very well, and the restaurants that he managed are all very successful. And so these owners decide to get the service of this retired restaurant manager. And so he comes out of his retirement because he feels very sorry for these restaurant owners. Now, these restaurant owners, of course, have great confidence in this restaurant manager because of his good track record. But even though they have good confidence, great confidence in him, they still have a little reservation, man. So they put a little clause there that says that if he should not perform, then his service will be terminated. And so this retired restaurant manager then gets to work. And he does something very radical. For the first month, what he does is he shuts the restaurant business and closes the door of the business. And for that 1 month, what he does is he trains the restaurant staff. Yes, from the waiters to the kitchen staff, he ensures that they are able to observe good food handling hygiene, able to provide good customer service. They know how to be polite. And most importantly of all, they know how to place the food in a timely manner on the tables of the customers. So in the second month, the service of this restaurant manager, the restaurant starts operating. Of course, business is slow at the beginning because of the bad reputation it has had. But in the third month, words get around that this restaurant is really not bad. It serves good food, service is good, and the staff is very, very pleasant, and then the price is reasonable. And then by the 6 months of this restaurant manager service, the confidence of the restaurant managers pays off. The restaurant is starting to make money. And by the end of the year, the operation of the restaurant was humming. It was making money. It is really becoming a very profitable operation. And so this restaurant manager then says, I've completed my job. And it's good work, of course. And he says, I've completed my job. And so he hands the business back to the owners and says, you just run the business now. I've completed my work. So it is good work done by him. Of course, the restaurant owners would want to his service to continue, but he very, very politely turns it down. Well, my dear friends, what I'm trying to point out is about the confidence these restaurant owners have in this restaurant manager. The confidence that they have in him is confidence, but there is reservation in that confidence. But friends, in the case of the Apostle Paul, when he looks at the good work that was being done by the one true living God in the folks in the city of Philippi, the Apostle Paul had absolute confidence that this work will have a very, very successful, conclusive end. Yes, that God is doing a perfect work, yes, in causing the folks in the city of Philippi to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was absolutely confident because he knew that this God of his was well able, and he was absolutely faithful in doing his good work. Now, in regards to this good work, it is really good work because it was not something that was temporal. It was not about making money, but rather it was a spiritual work. It was a work that had eternal value. Now, let me refresh your memory concerning the relationship the Apostle Paul had with this church in the city of Philippi. He thanked God for the love and the care that the folks in the city of Philippi had for him. And he thanked God for their fellowship, which God had provided for the Apostle Paul. And so he was very, very thankful to God for what had happened to the folks in the city of Philippi in time past and in time present and in time future. And so he says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. First, I'd like us to see that these believers had a good work done where? In them, not just on them, but in them. God saw the inside and not just the outside of the believers in the city of Philippi. He was doing a good work in them. Now, the outside can be deceiving. You remember when God asked the prophet Samuel to anoint a king to replace Saul as the king of Israel. Yes, God told him very, very clearly that I look on the inside and not on the outside. Samuel was, of course, very impressed by the seven brothers of David. All of them, of course, sons of Jesse. He was impressed by the outside appearance. But God said, no, I look on the inside. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the word of God says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord was, of course, talking about one of the seven brothers. Yes, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord looks on the inside. And so finally, whom did Samuel choose? Samuel chose David, because God was starting to do this good work in David to prepare him to be the king of Israel. Now, looking back at this fictitious restaurant that I was talking about earlier on, what good would this restaurant manager be doing if he came in and he just redecorated the restaurant, make the restaurant look very, very beautiful, make the restaurant look very, very inviting? But he does nothing. Or he does a very, very poor work to improve the skills, the work attitude, and the work ethics of the employees of the restaurant. My dear friends, he would not be doing any good work at all. Yes, because he would not be focusing on the core or the internal operation of the business, which is the most important thing about the restaurant, the core and the internal operation of the restaurant. My dear friends, God focuses on the inside of us and not on the outside of us. Yes, this work, yes, the work that God does, as we said, is not outside of us, but it's in us. It is the work of salvation. It is the work of the Holy Spirit causing us to be born again. He gives us a new heart. God looks on the inside and he gives us a new heart. But lest I be misunderstood, I need to say that the outside is important and not unimportant. It is important. But what happens outside of us is a reflection of what has been done inside of us, in our heart. So if a good work has started in us, my dear friends, there must be external changes in our lives. Yes, there must be changes in our behavior, changes in our conduct, changes in our attitude, changes in how we talk, how we eat, and there must be changes in our lifestyle, and there must be changes in regards to our sense of values. But friends, the work must be done in us. Then these external changes will take place. Now, the good work is done in us, and the good work is good work, all right? It is good work. Now, it is good work because it gives everlasting life. Without this good work done by God, we will have no spiritual life. We are dead, spiritually dead, separated from the one true living God. Now, if this work is not done in us at all, my dear friends, what is happening is we are heading for eternal damnation. Now, it is good work. It is good work in that it gives joy, real joy. It gives peace, even the peace that passes all understanding, and it gives the real meaning of life. Now, you think of this woman of Samaria whom the Lord Jesus Christ met at Jacob's well. In this, the place called Sychar, a place near to the city of Samaria. Yes, this woman apparently was quite an immoral woman. Yes, she had five husbands, and the man that she was living with at that time was not her husband. In other words, she was having an adulterous relationship. Now, life must have been very dissatisfying to her, if not miserable, having to be married five times, and then the man that she was living with at that time was not her husband. But the day she met the Lord Jesus Christ at Jacob's well, everything was changed. Everything was transformed. She was transformed. She received the real fountain of life. Yes, she received living water. Yes, the real fountain of life. And filled with that fountain of life, she was completely transformed. She had the real meaning of life. She could not contain herself. She left her water pot behind. She had come to the well to collect water. But she left that water pot behind and ran to the city and published this news that she had met the Messiah. Yes, she could not contain herself. My question for all of us here is this. Are you satisfied with life? Are you? Are you satisfied with life? Yes. Do you know the real meaning of life? Now, if today I were to pose this question to you, do you know the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life to you? Now, what's your answer, my dear friends? Do you have an answer to that question? Would you say, oh, I don't know, I guess, you know, it must be this, must be that. But friends, what's the real meaning of life? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. Glorify Him and enjoy Him. Now, do you have this understanding of the real meaning of life? And then you really have this real meaning of life. You are living a life with the intention to glorify the name of the Lord. You are living your life with the purpose of enjoying God. My dear friends, that's the real meaning of life. Do you have it? And then do you have real peace? Do you have real joy? Peace that passes all understanding. Joy that is unspeakable. My dear friends, let the Lord begin this good work in you, and you will have real peace, real joy, and you will have the real meaning of life. Now, understand this truth. He can do this good work in you because He has already done that great work of salvation on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, He shed His precious blood for us to save us from our sins. On the cross of Calvary, He made peace between us and the one true living God. And this peace that He has made for us between us and the one true living God is the basis for the kind of peace that we all long to have, and that is tranquility of mind, the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes. And what you need to do, my dear friends, for God to start this new work or this good work in you is to open your heart to Him, to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Invite Him and say, Lord, please come into my heart and be my Savior. My dear friends, if you sincerely make that request and truly repent from your sins, the Lord will come in and He will do His good work in you. He will give you His joy. He will give you His peace that passes all understanding. And He will give you the real meaning of life. And my dear friends, He surely will give you everlasting life. Now, this good work begins by grace. By grace. It is not anything that we do that we can get this good work started by God in us. No, God gives this good work, the doing of this good work to us as a gift. He does this good work in us as a gift. He does it as a very, very special favor to us. He does it out of His grace, not because we are good, not because we are working for this good work to be done in us. No, He gives it to us by His grace. And He does it in different ways. On different people, He does it differently. Right now, let's look at a few examples of how God starts to do this good work in people. Now you consider the case of this woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple, who comes from the city of Thyatira, and presumably at that time she was living in the city of Philippi. There was this Saturday when she and other people were gathered by the riverside, and they were there gathered to pray. And there they met Paul and his fellow missionaries. And then the Word of God tells us this: God opened the heart of Lydia. God opened her heart to open the heart of Lydia. And then she gave attention to what the Apostle Paul was saying. And then she came to believe. The Lord opened her heart, she came to believe, and she was baptized, and the whole family came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Was it a very dramatic event? No drama at all. It looked very ordinary. No drama at all. This woman simply came to believe when God opened her heart. But then you have another conversion, and you see how God started the work in this man. God did it in a very dramatic fashion. Remember the Philippi jailer. Yes, Paul and Silas and company preached the gospel in the city of Philippi. They were persecuted, and then they were arrested, and Paul and Silas were very, very severely beaten, and then they were cast into prison. And then at midnight, they sang praises to God, and they prayed, and then God intervened. God performed a great miracle. He caused the prison doors to be flung open and the chains of the prisoners to be made loose. And then the Philippi jailer got very, very fearful because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped because the prison doors were flung open. And he wanted to commit suicide. But Paul stopped him. Now, he wanted to commit suicide because it was a terrible crime in those days for a prison jailer to allow the prisoners to escape. Who were supposed to be under his care. And Paul stopped him. And then this man asked this very, very famous question: Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas replied with an equally famous answer: Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, you see, this good work started in this man in a very, very dramatic fashion. Whereas in the case of Lydia, it looks so ordinary. Now, then you remember the thief on the cross. Yes, he was in a very, very extraordinary situation, hanging on the cross, being crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he cried out to the Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My dear friends, you see, he was on the cross, and God started this good work in him. Of course, the good work didn't last for long because this man would soon die. But the point was, the good work started in different people in different ways. Now then, in more recent time, there was this 60-year-old man who was traveling in a trolley bus. He was seated next to a preacher. And then as the trolley bus past a building, he pointed the building out to this preacher. He said, "That was mine. That building was mine. Yes, I was running a business, running two shifts, and I was becoming very, very wealthy. But all of a sudden, in one night, all was gone. I lost all my possessions. It was like the light in the room being switched off." And when the preacher heard that, he was very, very sympathetic with him, and he said, "Yeah, too bad that should ever happen." But this man said, What too bad? No! He said, "I never stopped thanking God for what had happened, for this light to be switched off, because it was in the darkness that I heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord awakened me, and because of the Lord, I have come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior." So you see, that was how God began this good work in the heart of this man. And there are people who came to the Lord Jesus Christ because of sicknesses. That's how they heard the gospel and they came to believe, and God started this good work in them. Example, yes, my friend Mr. Law Yokmin. Mr. Law Yokmin suffered from cancer and went to a hospital, and then he was then treated by one of our elders who was the doctor in that hospital. And this doctor friend of ours gave him the gospel, and then he came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes, because of his cancer. He was so grateful to God for this good work started in him that he wrote this track called "Thank God for Cancer." Yes, so you see, God will start this good work. God starts this work in us in different manners. And I suppose today, if I were to ask all of us here to give our testimonies, each one of us will have a different testimony. True? Yes, different. The Lord would have started this good work in you in a different way. Each one will be different. But you know, one thing is common for all of us. And that is, God started this good work in us by His grace. We will all say, "By grace, I'm saved. By grace, God started this good work in me." Thank God for His grace. Yes. Now, those of you who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have been here for many years. You come to church on a Sunday, and superficially, you appear to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But only God knows your heart. Only God knows whether this good work has been started in you or not. And you might also know it yourself, that this good work has actually not started in me yet. You know it. Yes. Now, your coming here this morning is not something that is accidental. God brought you here. By His grace, you are here. Did you hear those words? By His grace, you are here. By His appointment, you are here this morning to hear the gospel. And He is wanting to save you. He wants to start this good work in you today, this morning. It is not something accidental. But friends, would you not accept His grace this morning? He wants to start this good work in you. Will you not say to Him, "Lord, please start this good work in me. I want to become a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to continue this good work in me until the day I see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face." Will you not pray this prayer this morning? Now, this good work that has been started by the Lord Jesus Christ does not stop after it has started, after the Lord starts this work in us. But His grace, but He continues to do this good work in us. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He will continue to perform this good work until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. Now, it involves nurturing. This good work involves nurturing. It involves pruning. It involves purging. It involves building. Yes. Now, this the purging that we experience to allow God to do this good work in us sometimes can be a very, very humbling experience. Now, how could Peter be purged of his self-confidence and boastfulness, yes, so that he could trust the Lord and then be of trust the Lord and be willing to humble himself so that he will be of good use to the Lord. My dear friends, he needed to be purged. He had to go through the very, very humbling experience of denying the Lord 3 times. Remember, before that, he was so cocksure of himself. He thought that he would never, ever fail the Lord. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I will never deny you. Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will die with you. I will not deny you." But when he came to the crunch, as we always said, at that night in the palace of the high priest, he denied the Lord 3 times. Now, Peter had to go through that experience. He had to go through that experience so that he would be humble enough to trust the Lord so that he could be of good use for the Lord. So that years later, he could pen these words. I'd like us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. All right? He could never have penned these words before that experience. Okay? Look at these words. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. 5 to 6, let me read for you. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." You see, coming from Peter, he says, be clothed with humility. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." My dear friends, Peter could never understand what was meant by humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, except that he had gone through that experience of denying the Lord 3 times. So sometimes, my dear friends, the Lord may have to purge us in that manner to get rid of the pride in us. So let us be very careful, my dear friends. If we are proud, let us very, very quickly confess our sins of pride. Ask the Lord to purge that from us. If we continue to be proud, my dear friends, the Lord may have to chastise us. He may have to put us through a very, very humbling experience so that we could be of use to him. Then, to keep us humble and to build us up in the faith, so that we would trust him and not ourselves and be of good use to the Lord, he might allow us to suffer from some kinds of infirmities. And we see this in the case of the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul had a very, very spectacular experience as it was. He was caught up into the third heavens. He was caught up into heaven where he heard things unspeakable. Now, anyone having that kind of experience, a very, very great spiritual experience, can become very, very swollen-headed spiritually. Paul might then begin to think, "Oh, you see, I'm so much more spiritual than other people. That's why I had this experience of being caught up into the third heavens." But the Lord had to humble him. And so he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, let me read this for you. You don't have to turn to the verse. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure," so that I won't become swollen-headed. Let's put it bluntly. Yes, God allowed the thorn in the flesh to afflict him so that he would not become swollen-headed. And 3 times he prayed for the Lord to remove that affliction from him. But what did the Lord say to him? The Lord said, "No." And finally the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The thorn was to humble Paul. It was to teach him to trust the one true living God, his Lord, implicitly. My dear friends, let's understand that this good work that the Lord does in us might just involve he's allowing some weaknesses to for us to experience in our lives, so that we will remain humble and be willing to trust the Lord to enable us to live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to Him. Now, to continue this good work, God uses means of grace. Yes, He tells, He does this good work in us, but He also uses means of grace, His means of grace for us to make use of. Now, one of the means of grace that that He gives us to make use of is this thing called prayer. My dear friends, we must pray. We mustn't say, "Oh Lord, you do this good work in me, just do it, just do it." No, friends, we must pray. Pray for God to send down His blessings upon us. Through prayer, we will fetch down His blessings upon us so that we may be able to live as good witnesses that He wants us to live as. And He has made us this promise. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you." We all know this. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and those that seeketh find, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him." We must pray, my dear friends, that the Lord will continue to do this good work in us. Now, another means of grace, very, very necessary for us to have, is the reading and the hearing of God's word. Now, we must hear God's word, we must read His word, we must hear His word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can't grow except we read His word. Do we read His word? We must. Yes, it is through this reading of His word that this means of grace might be applied to us. Yes, we must read it. Read, and then we must obey it, meditate on it, and obey it. My dear friends, so we need to pray. He has given us this means of grace. We need to pray, and we must be reading His word, meditating on His word, and then obeying His word, so that God can continue to perform this good work in us until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, by His grace, one day He will take us home. Again, it's by His grace. One day He will take us home. By His grace, He will cause us to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. One day, He will take our soul to be with Him. He leaves, the body will be left behind. And of course, one day, by His grace, we will be resurrected from the grave. And then one day, we will be absolutely transformed. We will be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and be like Him. All by His grace. Now, the good work begun by God will surely be successfully completed. And that's my next point. The good work begun by God will surely be successfully completed. Now, there is no guarantee that the work of man will be completed. And even if it is completed, there's no guarantee that it is successfully completed. Now, you take the case of the building projects here in Sydney. We have heard of horror stories. We heard horror stories of building blocks being put up. They have been completed, but successfully or not successfully? Not successfully, some of them, because cracks are showing and these buildings are not safe to dwell in. So even if the work is done, it might not be successfully done. And then surely we have heard of cases of some public works that are not completed. Bridges are constructed but not completed, or road constructions made but the roads were never completed. Why? Because the government runs out of money, or there's a change in government, there's a change in policy, and so the work of the bridge is suspended and the road works are also suspended. But friends, this work that we are talking about is the work done by the one true living God. This work will surely be completed. Yes, it is guaranteed by the one true living God. This God of ours is not fickle. He doesn't fail. He is absolutely able, absolutely faithful. Yes, He doesn't change His mind. Once He says, "I will do it, I will complete it," He doesn't change His mind. 1 Samuel chapter 15, 29, this is what is said of the one true living God. "And also the strength of Israel," meaning God, will not lie nor repent, for He is not a man that He should repent. If he says he will do it, my dear friends, he will do it.
He will complete the job.
So he that has begun a good work in us will surely perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, but we must be willing, friends. We must be willing for him to do this good work in us. It is no use, my dear friends, hearing about this good work that God can perform in us, but then we are not willing to allow him to do this good work in us. We must be willing to come before him and say to him, Lord, please come into me and do this good work in me. This man, Normanson, a German missionary a couple of hundred years ago, went to Indonesia. And he brought the gospel to the Batak people in Indonesia. He stayed there for 2 years. Yes, or rather, the chief of the Batak people allowed him to stay for 2 years. And during those 2 years, he studied the traditions and the customs of the people there. Then at the end of the 2 years, the chief asked Normanson if he had anything in the Christian religion that was different from the religions of the Batak people. And the chief said, we too have our laws. Yes. We must not steal, we must not lie, we must not take other people's wife. Yes, can you teach my people to do that? And Normanson said, no, I can't. But God can. Yes, he can give them the power to listen to the laws, he can give them the power to obey the laws. And then the chief said, all right, you stay for another half a year. All right. So Normanson was given another half a year to do his missionary work. Then at the end of 6 months, the chief came to him and said to him, Normanson, you stay. All right. Your law is better than our laws. Our laws tell us what to do, but our laws do not give us the power to do. But your God is different. Your God says, I will walk with you. I will give you the power to do the laws. And today there must be something like maybe half a million Bataks who are professed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. All because of the work of Normanson. But friends, what I'm trying to drive at really is this. Now the chief had to be willing to allow Normanson to proclaim the word to his people. He must be willing. Yes, if he was not willing, of course he was representative of the people. Now, if he was not willing, then no good work will be done in them. Likewise, my dear friends, we must be willing. If we want God to start this new good work in us, we must all be willing and say, Lord, please, I'm willing to allow you to start this work in me. Please come and do this good work in me. Yes, we must be willing. And then the Lord will start this good work in us. Yes. Now then, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this good work? Yes, my final point, a very short one. The purpose of this good work. Again, let's come back to verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, my dear friends, what is the purpose of this good work? The purpose of this good work is to perfect us. Yes, so that we will be presented faultless before the Lord Jesus Christ someday. Now the Apostle Paul had been experiencing this perfecting work of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. Now this was what he said during the last days of his life. He was coming to the close of his life. He was in prison at that time, waiting to be executed. And this was what he said, all right? He was reflecting, thinking of this good work that God had done in his life. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. This is 2 Timothy 4:6. Yes. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. So Paul, of course, was reflecting on the good work that the Lord had done in him. And now he had come to the end of his life. And then he was looking forward to the day when he will be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, perfected, and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to give him the crown of righteousness. Now, of course, all of us here would not be so there to be ambitious, so ambitious to think that one day this crown of righteousness will be put on our head. But there is one thing that we must all try to look forward to, and that is to come before the Lord, perfected before him, and hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All of us, my dear friends, must be willing to do that. But friends, if the good work has not started in you yet, yes, you will be in a very, very sorrowful state on the day when you stand before the Lord. Yes, when you stand before the Lord, before his great white throne, you will be found guilty before him. And then you will then be cast into the lake of fire, and where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity, because no good work had been done in you throughout your life. Yes, we must have this good work done by the one true living God, so that on the day when we stand before the Lord, we will have been perfected. Now, the good work that God does is in us, all right? Not outside of us, but in us. It is the good work of salvation. It is the work done by his Holy Spirit. And this good work done by the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. And then he gives us a new heart. Now, this good work done in us must necessarily, of course, be reflected by outward changes, right? The outward changes will be automatic when this good work in us is done. There will be changes in our behavior, changes in our lifestyle, changes in the way we talk, in the way we eat. There will be changes in regards to our sense of values, because we will be focusing on things that count for eternity. Our focus will not be on temporal things. Now, the work that is done in us or started in us is good work. It is good work because it gives us everlasting life. It is good work because this is the work that gives us peace, it gives us joy unspeakable, and it gives us the real meaning of life. And then we have also learned that with regards to different people, God starts this good work in different ways. Yes, in the case of Lydia, there was no drama at all, but whereas in the case of the Philippi jailer, we know how dramatic the occasion was in which he came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then this work that God begins in us will surely be successful, because this work will be completed, and you'll be completed successfully, because this is work done by the one true living God who never fails. He's ever faithful, he's all powerful. What he says he will do, he will do. And let's understand that this good work is being done in us for one purpose. And what is it? And that is to perfect us, to present us faultless before the Lord Jesus Christ someday. My dear friends, has this good work started in you yet? And if it has started in you, how well is it going today? Are you praying unto him? Are you reading God's word? Are you obeying God's word to make sure that this good work is continuing in a very, very effective manner? And if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, understand this truth. This good work has not begun in you yet. Why don't you come and believe in you today and let God start this good work in you, and let him perform this good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. O Lord, we thank you for this wonderful grace that you have shown to us in giving us this salvation, in starting this good work in us. And we thank you that you have not only given us the grace to start this good work in us, but you are performing it unto the day of Jesus Christ, so that the day when we appear before him, we will appear faultless before him. Father, we want to pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who have not experienced this good work done in them yet. We pray, O Lord, this morning that they will open their hearts and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and pray to him and say, Lord, I want this good work to be started in me today. Lord, be very gracious, be very merciful to them, we pray thee. Lord, we pray that you will be with us today and this afternoon when we go to the old folks' home. We pray that you will be with us, enable us to do a good work for you when we speak to the old folks this afternoon. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.